Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. We are so excited for today's episode. We are going to be talking about the importance, the value of godly connections. There's all kinds of ways that we can connect with each other and people in the world. But if you've ever struggled in finding good friendships, godly environments, we are going to be touching on some topics today that I know will bless your life. So whether you're a great friend with lots of people in your life, or maybe you feel a little lonely at times or have been looking for godly relationships, listen to this episode, and I know it's going to bless your life. My name is Antonio. I'm here with Pastor Joel. How you doing, Pastor Joel?
I'm doing great.
Man, we are pumped. We are on the heels of what was a great Memorial Day weekend. Here at church, we had a Memorial Day picnic. It had been it's our first in several years.
Yeah.
And man, to say it was a success is it's an understatement, right? It was a beautiful day. The weather was beautiful. Probably 70 degrees, clear skies. Pretty much took the entire park to ourselves as a church family.
Right.
It was a beautiful day. You were there. Tell us about your experience.
I was there not to barbecue. I was there just to make some connections, and I stayed, you know, to have some wonderful conversations.
Yeah.
I got to see people I hadn't seen in a while, meet new families, and it got me to thinking about this topic today about how vital it is. Because I was hearing story after story of how the connection mattered.
Yeah.
And not only bringing in new family members like we do at The Rock every week, because we welcome them into the family, but to stay connected is so essential and vital for growth. There were people that I was hearing with some stories of health challenges, maybe spiritual dilemmas, family issues. But one theme that I heard throughout this picnic, aside them trying to stuff my face at every stand because
absolutely.
There was barbecue and there was got an asada and food. You want another?
Oh,
and
man.
I'm like, I could not eat anymore.
Our people know how to throw down. I'll say that.
They were very generous.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, it's okay. And I felt bad because I'm pushing away all this abundance of food and fun and connection. So I just felt like for this podcast, let's talk about why godly connections and are essential to your personal growth and to your growth as a family in a church setting. Now, our dilemma at The Rock is it's a large church.
Yeah.
But I saw a lot of the big church get real small that day.
Well, and that's one of my observations, and I couldn't help but ask myself, like, what does it take for someone to kind of just cold turkey come to a picnic? Maybe there are people listening, watching, that have not been at The Rock for a long time, that have not really had an opportunity to make connections. So, hey, we see this advertisement for this picnic. What makes someone say, hey, I'm just going to go and then put up a tent and hopes to meet somebody? You know, I can see how it can be difficult to put yourself out there to make godly relationships. But what are your thoughts to why that's beneficial?
Well, I mean, one of the things that was a takeaway to me in conversing with others, it was just so organic.
Yeah.
There was not, you know, we invite people to church and they look at church as this thing there that I haven't entered in years.
Yeah.
And it was a safe setting because it was a park.
Yep.
I mean, there was playground for kids. Or there was all kinds of things that they can get involved with that aren't, they could let their walls down and not be so apprehensive. I don't know why people are apprehensive to come to church. Maybe they have a view of church that they need to change. But I felt the family was activated and church was at the park.
Yeah. And people's walls were down.
I was having conversations and I was like, wow, that's so cool.
Right.
To be able, yes, we're pastors. Yes, we carry that mantle and that authority. But I was just an average guy conversing about life with them.
Right.
And I was doing life with them.
Yeah. They're a pull up a seat, come and talk.
Chair. Here's my children.
Yeah.
Here's who we invited. This is my friend.
Yeah.
And it was so organic and it was so fun to me.
Well, I'd love to hear, you know, that from the pastor's perspective in terms of as a pastor who it's your job, it's your call to go love and serve people, but also your perspective or observation from the people's side who are just there kind of in this space and they got to learn each other. So maybe if you could share that.
Well, okay. So I was talking to an elderly woman who was involved in SALT. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, I said, she used to work at some retail store and she retired. Mm-hmm. She retired not just because of COVID, but she had some health challenges. So she had to bow out. She worked at this retail store for 19 years.
Oh.
So I asked her, how are you doing? Of course, that's mm-hmm. How are you doing? She says, well, I'm doing better because I retired not because of just COVID. I retired because I had to because I wasn't doing physically well.
Yeah.
I said, how are you doing now? She says, I'm doing amazingly well, not only because God has healed my body. I'm making connections. I thought I'd be bored in my retirement.
Mm.
I'm a part of this group and yeah. this group, and we're doing outings, and yeah. I attend SALT. And, of course, they wanted to get me into SALT,
yeah.
and I refused to go into SALT for other reasons. But there is an importance of that connection. When mm-hmm. I heard that, and then I went to another family, and they were saying, yeah, we're down and out, but the brothers and the sisters came and delivered me food, and it was just so cool that the family was activated and
yeah.
doing what families need to do. Care for one another,
yes.
love one another, be intentional about, you know, what they're dealing with without necessarily the trappings of religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just relationship.
Yes. Very much
you
so.
Know, and what they were sharing with me is because I had these godly relationships, I'm doing better.
Yeah. People were smiling. I mean, again, so you can go into the psychological, the chemical reactions of people having physical touch, seeing a smile, all, you know, cortisol levels are right. up, the sun, you're getting
That's
vitamin
right.
D. There's just so much, even in the natural, that you can see that, you know, that everyone's levels were very high. There's children playing and laughing. But one of the parallels, I'd like to run this by you because I, you know, as I'm thinking about it, I know your dad pastored in a small town. My parents came from small towns. And as I got to walk around as a pastor, you know, I felt like it's, again, in these small towns, the pastors, they go from home to home. And so people had their tents or their blankets or basically like their little camp.
Right.
And they would invite us into their, again, for the parallel's sake, into their home, into their space.
That's right.
And when they did that, they were so generous. They offered food. They offered a seat.
Come break bread.
They
sit
wanted to
down.
Share their story. And I just thought that was such a beautiful parallel of people opening up their hearts, opening up their lives, and to come to find out people are so generous. They're generous
yes.
with their time, with their food, with what they have. They're willing to give it, and they want to talk about
and they want
what God has done.
They want connection. And because there was not this religious event
yes, right.
shrouding,
yes.
they got into competitions.
But God was very present.
He was very God present.
Very
but
present.
I heard about those competitions. Yeah. That they were
God
unleashed.
God might not have been present in all that part.
But they were having fun.
Yes,
they were
no,
having
it was.
A blast. They were
yeah.
like, oh, my God. You know,
yeah.
I didn't know
yeah.
the family was that competitive.
Yeah, there was a horseshoe competition. There wasn't very much controversy there. That was pretty straightforward. But the kickball, I heard, ended in some controversy. and so
Again,
yeah.
Again, outside the dimension, to me, that's healthy.
Yes.
That's family.
Yeah.
When we play checkers or chess, whatever it is, dominoes,
mm-hmm.
competition is always a part of that drama. So
yeah.
I get to see it there.
Yes.
And I was laughing. I wasn't a part of it, but I it was hilarious
yes,
that you take this very, very seriously.
Yes.
Like you're a pro at
oh,
this,
yeah.
you know, and they're getting angry and upset. I'm like, relax, chill out. But overarching the importance of highlighting what healthy relationships look like. Galatians 6:2 says this, the NIV, carry each other's burdens so you fulfill the law of Christ. The meaning in context, what's the law of Christ? It refers to Jesus' commandment to love one another, John 13:34. That means stepping out and helping somebody in their struggle. That means physically getting out of your own comfort zone and demonstrating love to one another. That's what I seen.
Yes.
The sharing. I had family members following me, and all of a sudden the grill was open.
Yes.
And tacos were being handed out.
Of course.
It would. That's love to me. There mm-hmm. was there was no context of being funny or goofy. Oh, I didn't bring anything.
Right.
You know, there was this. Well, maybe it's because it was you, Pastor Joel. Yeah. No. It's because it was organic.
Yeah. You couldn't walk by without someone saying, hey, here, try.
That's right. Here. Yeah. I mean, that's the family at work. So the meaning of the carrying each other's burden, then, because there's a difference in the context of Galatians chapter 2. It says this. There's a difference between burdens and loads. Galatians 2 says this. Burdens means heavy, crushing weights. Okay, carry each other's burdens. But then it goes in even tragedies and severe trials. That's the weight, the boulders, the big thing, the big rocks.
Yeah.
Okay, but then it says, but you must each carry your own load, referring to everyday personal responsibilities and individuals' expectations of themselves and management of themselves. So in that same scripture, it says, bear one another's burdens, but then you have to carry each other's loads. What does that mean, Pastor Joel? Here's what it means. When it comes to big rocks, we need community.
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes to person, you're going to wake me up and brush my teeth? No, yeah. I got to do that.
Right.
That's my own little load.
That's good.
I got to go to work. I got to check in. I got to wake up on my own. Okay, but when I heard some of the stories that I heard at the picnic, I mean, those were life-threatening illnesses that they were saying, I'm now cancer-free, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the community, God, the Bible was activated in their life, and it organically came together to carry that load for that individual.
Well, I love that distinction, because I think where we can make a mistake is, because I don't have to carry your little rocks, don't come to me with your big rocks. And if we don't get that clarity there, like, yeah, I'm still not going to come. I love that. As silly as it sounds, like, I'm not going to come brush your teeth. But hey, if something's going on, I'm here for you.
Yeah,
right?
Because,
like, of course, you still have to get yourself up and you got to do it. But can I encourage you, if you're struggling to get up consistently, if you're going through a mental health crisis, if you're struggling.
Depression.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I carry that load with you?
Absolutely.
Can I cheer you up and call you? And absolutely. And I think those are the things that we can miss.
When we see deaths in the family, severe losses, very tragic situations, and in life they're going to happen.
Right.
Okay. But that's where the family and godly relationships is activated to carry that boulder so you can't carry it alone. I am convinced the world does not know how to do this. That's why there's shut-ins, they're online, and then they're having difficulty because they're by themselves.
Yeah.
And that's not what the Bible says. It says actually to stay connected to God, but then connect to each other.
Yeah.
You know, in the altar care room, I make people laugh when I say this line. I said, look, you are now connected to God, and now it's time to connect to God's family.
Yeah.
We are here to disciple you and mentor you and create this organic family that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can hear it already.
Right.
I love God, but I hate people.
Right.
And they all laugh. But there are people that have difficulty with relationships. That's where the Bible says iron sharpens iron. When you come, God kind of brings you people like sometimes sandpaper to shove, to, you know, rub out some of those rough edges and organically grow as a family. To me, you can't do life without family.
Yeah.
I can't. I always have to be connected to God, and that's obvious. I have to stay connected to God. But the Bible is very clear about Jesus mandating connecting at least to the 12 and thousands of others.
Mm-hmm.
He imparted. He was family. He fed them.
Yeah.
He slept with them. He put up with their nonsense.
Right.
He challenged them.
Yeah.
And he push them to a new level to become a family of God. And he even reminded them, hey, look, I'm not going to be with you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit, the Comforter is coming, but you have to do this organically together. Where have we lost that value? I believe I've seen it in the park. Mm-hmm. I believe that I seen it in those intimate conversations. Like, you know, my wife was talking to one of the persons there, and they said, "There's my little girl." My wife says, "The doctors told you she wasn't going to live." And we looked at her, and she was jumping up and down. What happened?
Yeah.
Well, the family got together. We prayed. We believed God. And look.
Yeah. Well, and there was just so many. Also, there was so many testimonies of people that we heard afterwards that this experience to them was beautiful. I think, you know, you and I, we both talked about this. We grew up in church. We grew up in this context of church family, of hosting, you know, that's kind of what I know.
Right.
So sometimes it can be difficult for me to step outside of that context. But some of the testimonies of people who are newer to faith, who came to faith in their own adulthood, right? So they're coming to faith in their mid to late 30s, now trying to raise a family. And they're saying, strange thing is, I come around people and now I get advice from, you know, I joined a small group and I get advice from the people in my group, and it's just so differs from when I go talk to my friends in the world. And that's, I'm nodding, and at the same time I'm wondering, like, hey, I think we can miss a part and take a part for granted to just think like, I've always known church, but there are people who are coming and learning new in this, and I think that is so beautiful. We have to come alongside each other. We have to pick each other up. We can't just live in this world because I know everyone else should.
Right.
And there is this sense of let's get uncomfortable and let's be willing to get uncomfortable. Again, a parallel that I can think of in the natural, you know, when we are, if we lived in a bubble, what would happen is the first experience with a germ or our bodies with any kind of pollen, or we would go crazy. But when you are exposed to people your entire life or exposed to nature, then your body learns how to develop and get build up your immune system that you can handle things. I would think it's the same way in our Christian faith where, hey, I don't want to get hurt out there by people. Hey, me and you, God, people are going to hurt me. People are going to betray me. But what happens is, hey, you might be good with God, but God built this thing, this beautiful world around us with people. Yeah, could you get hurt in relationships? Absolutely. But the benefits far outweigh the challenges.
They do.
And I think, so kudos to people who are stepping out. Kudos to people who are making sure that they are not going to do life alone, that iron sharpens iron. Even someone who grew up in church, I know I don't have it all together. I need to be challenged. I need someone. I need to be able to think I'm expressing how I'm handling things. And for someone to say, but do you think that's this? Or have you ever thought about this perspective? And man, I learn all the time from people with other perspectives, with new ideas.
Yeah, to people that I minister to don't have a context of a healthy home or godly parents or never been in church all their life, I hear this phrase a lot. I'm closer to my spiritual family than my earthly family, because when we get together, everybody fights and judges and they're critical and they're getting into things that we shouldn't.
Right.
Right. But the healthy family hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. You've had to change.
Yeah.
So you get connected to who you're connected to, which abiding in Christ, and those relationships build. And I have come to understand over my life, I can't do it without godly friends.
Yeah.
Even as a pastor, I'm not good enough. I need people to hold me accountable, to invest in me, and I invest in them. And that's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, classic scripture, we say it all the time. It says, there's a warning, don't forsake the assembly of one another. Don't neglect the gathering. Now, it's not just church context, it's family gathering. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, it's church. We want people to embrace what we're delivering in the pulpit areas, but it's not neglecting the gathering, because the organic church that was developed in the book of Acts was the home church.
Yeah.
So don't stay away. Not forsaking ourselves to one another means that you're exhorting one another, and so much more to see as the day's approaching. As Jesus is coming soon and the signs of the times are telling us, then that's why we have to embrace one another. Because things are going to get more difficult, the Bible says, as time lingers and Jesus is coming closer. We're going to be tested.
Yeah.
So I can't be tested alone. Yeah. I have to be tested in the context of family. So what does this gathering mean? It says to meet regularly, in part, break bread. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you have to join a small group. It behooves you to if you're not.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying you have to carry ministry responsibilities. I'm telling you right now, I do carry a lot of ministry responsibilities. Most of the ministry is not done by me. It's done by those intentional individuals, family members that come and jump on. Oh, we visited that person in the hospital. Oh, we prayed. We connected with them. Did you hear they're having a hard time?
Yeah.
When us brothers got them together and we bought them lunch. Yeah. Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. That's so cool. That's not forsaking the assembly. So the challenge to all of us is that we need to be motivated to do that.
Right.
Not just in a park setting, not just in a church setting, but be the family of God of mutual respect, mutual purpose, mutual God encounters and saying, I'm here for you. You can count on me as a family member. Absolutely. That's hard to do. That's a hard commitment. You know, are you really here for me?
Yeah.
When everyone's let them down, including their fathers or mothers, or they've been lost, or the morass of morality being brought up. But as the day comes closer, as history shows that the events, and we're seeing them, the signs of our times, then we need to be gatherers.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be connectors.
Yeah.
We need to stay close to the family. Oftentimes, you know, I've seen some there at the park. Hey, where you been?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been around.
Yeah.
Okay, really? All right. Yeah. Again, maybe they have been.
Yeah.
But I've seen them there.
Yeah. No, that's what so blessed me. Maybe people who have either been reluctant or have not been able to identify where to get involved. This was an easy commitment level. It's show up one day, you know, bring some food. And I think for many people, it's going to be their entry in. And I think that was the beautiful thing. I had an opportunity to pray with someone who was just at the park, who was not there as part of our group. And I was like, oh, hey, how you doing? I'm here with this group here. This is our church. He goes, this is your church? And as I looked around, too, I'm like, man, it's young and old. It's multi-ethnic, multi-generational. It was such a beautiful picture that for just a bypasser, I could be like, I could imagine how you'd think, like, what is this, right? Who are these people? Like, what? How, you know, again, there's young and old playing kickball together. Right. You have multicultural, and what other setting is this beautiful family of God uniting in this way? We just don't see it very often. And so I was like, yeah, no, we're from a local church. We're from the Rock Church here in San Bernardino. He goes, this is a church? Oh man, I got to come. And I, you know, whether he was just pulling my leg or like. The sincerity in his voice was that there's something to what you guys have.
So what attracted him to that?
Yeah.
He's seen the setting.
Right.
But what was attractive to
him? I think that there was just genuine relationship going on. Because you can say, oh, yeah, of course you go to church, right? That's a, you know, you're afraid to go to hell, you know, so of course you're going to go to church. But to gather with the family of God outside of the four walls, to still want to be around each. So it's kind of like, you know, it's like when you're a teenager – still wanting to be around your parents. Like, whoa, like when I was a teenager, I was like, man, I want to go out, not where my parents are. But then as I've gotten older, like, wait, I like my parents. I want to be around my parents. So it's that idea that I still would want to be around these people, even when I, quote, don't have to, like, I have to go to church. But then I get to hang out with them on a holiday and in this park setting. And it was just a beautiful picture.
Well, the Bible says, if you want friends, be friendly.
Yes.
I hear it time and time again. Why have no connections? I have things that I'm carrying and then no one cares for me. And are you intentional about your friendship?
Right.
Are you intentional about conversation? Are you scared to death of people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to breach those things for them to be friendly. I mean, there are those rare birds. I mean, I'm one of them where I'll breach a conversation and someone was offering me a hot dog and I'm like, okay, put it in the bun. Then I seen the carne asada and I said, sorry, dude, I like this better. But they were my friends.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So I was intentional about it. Did he get offended?
No, absolutely not.
Did the carne asada taste better than that hot dog?
Which, yes, by the way, we got a shout. I saw there was a group from La Roca. They had, I've seen different accounts on social media talking about, hey, which kind of ceviche is better, Peruvian style, Mexican style? This is, and there was a family that they had every style of ceviche there. And it was just like, Oh my gosh, they had, it looked like a little mini restaurant, chafing dishes. They, I mean, it was a beautiful spread. And I tell you, man, our family, our church family knows how to.
Yeah, so they know how to get together. In that group, there was a guy that stuck out like a sore thumb to me because I hadn't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I'm here. These are my people. And I'm like, no, you're not here. I'm like, in my mind, I'm saying, but he felt totally comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know where he attends church.
Yeah.
I know he's not attending this church.
But it was a no shame day.
That's exactly right. That's the organic family.
Yeah. Right.
The organic. Then he started playing, and he had hopefully, Pastor Antonio, hopefully that church that was activated in the park, the church that's activated here at the Rock, I believe there's those kind of connections are here.
Yeah.
You just got to look for them and be intentional about them.
Well, I think an important takeaway is, you know, because it'd be nice to, oh, okay, cool. There was a nice day at the park, you know, okay, that was cool. But I think there is a what now. There is a sense of, I've met some people, now I want to see, you know, hey, we won the tournament together. I want to see you in church, and I'm going to ask about you. I'm going to step out. I'm going to continue to cultivate this relationship. While this ground is fertile, right? Like, my heart is fertile to receive love from other people. My heart is fertile to make sure that I'm going to connect with other godly people. My prayer is that people now recognize their need for that. That there's going to be like that scratched an itch that maybe people didn't know they had. Like, oh man, I need this. I need, this was such a beautiful day, not just in the physical, but it did something to my spirit. My spirit is refreshed in a way that I haven't felt in a while. Now, that's what I asked some people, like, hey, do you serve anywhere? And again, in the same way, God doesn't need our money. He doesn't ask, he doesn't give us this call of generosity and tithing and giving because he needs our money. In the same way, when we're asking someone, do you serve in the house? It's not because he needs our volunteerism, right? Of course, the house has needs in terms of, hey, we got to have someone in, we want to be able to serve the children's ministry.
Right.
Those are natural needs. But more than anything, when we come and we serve, what does it do to our heart? Right? Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. We are, not only are we walking more like Jesus, but we're opening our hearts. And then guess what? The people that we're serving alongside, we are now bonding in a different way too.
That's right.
Right? We're going towards the same mission. And ask a veteran. What are the, I mean, you don't even have to, I never met you. I've never seen you before, but I know you're a veteran. I'm a veteran. There's an instant bond. In the same way, when we serve the house together, there's going to be a bond, a love for one another, because we are on the same mission to serve people of this house and to serve God's kingdom. And man, what beautiful way, what more beautiful way.
I know it's difficult for people to put themselves out there and meet new people. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. Here's my question to all you. Whose iron are you sharpening?
Yeah.
If you want your iron to be sharpened, who are you investing in so they could invest in you? Yeah. Where's this godly connection that produces wisdom? Bible says, walk with the wise and become wise. A companion for fool suffers harm, Proverbs 13:20. It says in Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says, two are better than one, because one have a good return for their labor. If one falls down, the other helps up. How clear can it be? If you're failing, if you're falling, you need a brother around, a sister around you, a family around you to lift you up. You can't do life alone.
Yeah.
And like I said at the park, look, I'm only one guy. I only have limited time. But look at all these people that you could invest in.
Yeah.
Look at these people that you could do another barbecue with.
Yeah.
You can organically start another small group, because it's not hard to.
Yeah.
It's just being intentional about it. Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to carry those responsibilities. Well, I'm of the belief that if I don't sharpen someone's iron, and when I fail and when I fall, there ain't nobody going to pick me up.
Right.
And that's where we're at in society. We're connected online. We're chatting. We got friends. But do we really?
Yeah.
Can you call somebody when you're down and out, and they'll pick up the phone and they say, I'm here for you?
Yes. Yeah.
What do you need from me? No ulterior motive. Right. No. I'm there. We're there. We're present. We're ready. Well, that's cultivation. When you cultivate that kind of godly relationship, there's a return to that.
Yeah.
I know I can call a ton of people.
Yeah.
You know, your parents included. Mm. If I'm ever down and out, hey, they're there.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's investment over time. That's mutual growth. That's I took personal responsibilities and I've invested. Now, great, that has a return. And the return to me is unfailing loyalty and unfailing love, because Jesus says, love one another and they will know you by your love.
Yeah.
So connection translates to me is love. Well, if we need someone just to serve,
yeah,
then they're going to feel that. You just want me to work.
Yeah.
I don't need you to do anything. Yes. I just need you to be a part of the family.
It's an invitation to join the family. It's an invitation for a deeper connection. Yeah,
it's absolutely. It's not mysterious.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen discipleship going on without someone doing a process or a plan.
Well, the process was living.
Right.
And I think that's the thing. What was Jesus's? Jesus didn't go through a book with the disciples. He invited them to walk alongside him. He invited them. That means he modeled the nap. He modeled the faith. He modeled it all as it was taking place. One of my favorite life verses is God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that he will reap. And I think of that same principle goes in our relationship. If I sow stepping out for someone, carrying each other's burdens, like you said earlier, shooting a text out to somebody when they come across my mind.
Hey, haven't seen you around.
Yeah.
Are you doing
what
well?
What does that cost me? Again, not like when text first came out. Remember you had to pay? It was like 10 cents a text. I know that better than anybody. You got a fat bill one time. But texts are free. What does it cost? Words are free. When you think if someone comes across your mind, hey, maybe it's the Holy Spirit telling you to reach out. That's you never know what's going
on
in someone's mind.
Sometimes it is, but the narrative, we're too busy. Who isn't busy?
Yes.
You do what you want to do.
Yes.
Okay? I jokingly said, if I gave you $100 to come to church, I'd have a lot of people come to church. There's an ulterior motive.
Well, even at the picnic. So we said 12 o'clock. Hey, people were there early for the picnic. I don't see people there. I don't come to the parking lot on Sunday and see that. People
again,
wanted a good spot.
they wanted a good spot. They wanted to share love and connection. Mark 12 says, love your neighbor as yourself. Are we loving our neighbors?
That's good.
Do your neighbors even know you? Your physical neighbors. They know me. You know, I'm ministering to one. The other one said, hey, I want to tell you, you know, I have my grandkids over and it's really, really loud. I'm sorry. I said, well, I have my grandkids over and they're louder than your kids. And we laughed.
Yeah.
But that's connection.
Yeah.
They know that I'm present.
Yeah.
So this wanting loving one another is a demand and a command from Jesus.
Yeah.
To me, I seen that there. To me, I seen that organic. To me, I seen the church activated and being its wonderful self.
Yeah.
Different food, different setting, different people, different walks of life, different challenges, but it's a family together.
Yeah.
And if we create that family, godly relationships, then God will grow his kingdom, because that's what it is about. But back to Paul saying, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another from its grievances, forgiveness as I forgave you. All these virtues put on love, which binds us together. Are there issues in life? Yes. That's why Paul says we have to offload them to God and invest in each other, even in difficult times.
Yeah.
I can't believe I see sometimes the failure of families. I mean, you're going to be doing a funeral soon, and all kinds of family are going to show up. They're going to be carrying the burdens of that family.
Yes.
That's a load that needs to be carried.
Right.
The world has nothing on the church
that. That's right.
They'll come with food. They'll come with gifts. They'll come with support. Oftentimes when I'm doing a funeral at the gravesite, when we're dismissing and everything's done, I stand in front of the family and I challenge the family and friends that are looking. And usually the family is sitting in front of me. And I say this. Now it's your turn to invest in them.
Yeah.
Their loved one has just passed. It's your turn to call, support, deliver. Don't ask them to answer you back. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Love them intentionally. This family is grieving. They need you.
Yes.
And I make that clarion call because that's what is needed to carry that family with that big loss.
Yeah.
That's the church. Yeah. That's godly relationships. That's the investment. And so overall, the takeaways, let's do it again. I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah.
But I liked that I wasn't wearing just my pastor's hat. I was having fun with my family.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It was a beautiful time with my family. And I love my family, even though I don't know most of them.
Well, that's it. I got to meet some of my family for the first time.
For the first time. Beautiful. I mean, it's just like when you do a reunion, and who are you? And you're connecting dots. And they were connecting their children. Mm-hmm. They were connecting their uncles.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is my aunt. And this is, you know, my uncle. Yeah. And this is them. And what's your name? And what's your name? And it was organic. Yeah. That's family. That's godly. That's relationships.
Well, and some of you came up to me about the podcast, and so shout out to you all. Some of them are like, oh, I love the podcast, and they're always so encouraging. And that, again, that encouragement is what gets us here to continue to go, that it's adding value to your life. And Pastor Joel, I think, you know, great topic. You made some great points. Would you pray us out or give us a closing thought today?
Well, closing thought is the challenge of Hebrews still exists. Don't forsake the family. Don't forsake the family. The family needs you. The family needs you, and you need the family.
Mm-hmm.
Is the family sometimes difficult? Yes. Is it challenging? Yes. But we're all in this together. Until Jesus comes home, he needs you, and he needs you to be intentional about your family. And I'm not just talking about your immediate family. I'm talking about the household of faith. If any time people need to be encouraged, is now. You might need to be encouraged online. Well, I'm reaching out to you to join the family of God. I'm reaching out to you. If you don't have a connection with God, please make a connection with God and his family. We're imperfect family. We have issues like everybody else. But the challenge is we're still family. And at the end of the day, family is what matters. I will go to bat for that family. I will run to never-ending energy. I will spend my whole life investing in God's family, because there will be a marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven where all the family gets together. I want to see you there. I want to see your children there. And for you to get there, you need to invest in the love of Christ that constrains us to makes us into beautiful human beings.
Yeah.
That's the church.
Amen. Amen. Hey guys, as always, like, comment, subscribe. Would you do us a favor? Share this with somebody, post it on social media. We'll tag you, we'll repost you. We are just so grateful. If you're encouraged by this, help us get the word out. We want to help and serve as many people as possible. We love you. Until next time, we'll see you guys.